setting the stage for the Antichrist to come and bring in and usher in his peace. And for that, avoiding showing people that he had the power to avoid a world war or whatever, they're going to worship him. And it's coming soon. I was thinking as I was writing down this message or typing it out, whatever, I was thinking, you know, one of these days, I don't preach that much. I preach every once in a while for Brother Ken. I preach off here and there. But one of these days, I'm going to preach my last message. And I was wondering, I wonder if this is it. You know, Brother Ken is up in wherever he's at. He's up that way some which way. Or that way. And you know, he may not even make it home. He may be preaching his last message tonight. That's the truth. That's the dead truth. And I think about these things, and I thought about it as my last message. What would I want to say? If God walked in my study and told me this is your last message, what do you want to say? What would it be? What would you say if God told you, if he come in and told you, tomorrow I'm coming? And I know he's not going to do that, but if he did tell you that, what would be on your agenda? What would be on your calendar if tomorrow night at 7:30 the Lord was coming back 24 hours? What would you do as the day draws nigh? First of all, I believe is we as the nucleus of this church, the people that are faithful, you understand the people that's here tonight, you have broke plans and you have made plans to be here, and there is no other plan that's going to interfere with you being here. You know why? Because this is your life. You're dedicated here. Of course, I understand people get sick. I understand people go on vacation, this, that, and other, whatever. But if you are here, you're here because you choose to and because you love the Lord. Am I right about it? And I want to say this. As the day draws nigh, it do us good to be faithful. Faithful, first of all, notice with me in verse number 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. First of all, we must be faithful to Christ. I'm here tonight because he has written in his word that I'm to be here. Amen. We just read the verse. He has written down that I am commanded to be in his house. But first, before that, I'm here tonight because I love him. I'm here tonight because he is the one that saved me. I ought to be in hell. I ought to be there in the lowest parts of hell, burning with the worst of the worst. But by his grace, he reached further down than I could reach up. He came to me and saved me and washed me from my sins. And I sure owe him the world. I owe him my time on Thursday night. I owe him my time on Sunday. I owe him my time because he is altogether lovely. Amen. We ought to be faithful to him first. Then we ought to be faithful to the church. You know, the Lord, back to him, He's our salvation. He's our supply. Listen to me, you think about what the Lord has done for you. I could stop right now and go around this room and start with Brother Randall and go around this whole entire room and ask you to tell me five blessings. And you'd be trying to figure out which five to say, because God's been good to every single one of us. God is blessed. Yeah, we got trouble. Yes, we got trials. We've got difficult times. But as the girl sung this song a while ago, God's been good. He's been more than good to us. I want to say this tonight publicly and testify that God's been way better than I ever deserved. Amen. He's blessed me beyond anything I could ever imagine. I'm not talking about material things. I'm telling you, He has blessed me and He's been good to me. And I praise Him for that. I bless His holy, sweet name that He's been good to us tonight. We ought to be faithful to Christ, but we ought to be faithful to the church. You know, this is His church. You remember when He told Simon Peter, He said, "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is His church. This right here, what you're looking at and sitting in tonight, is the closest thing to heaven on earth. This is God's assembly. This is God's organism right here that He has created. God created the church. Jesus formed the church. He made the church. And we are a part of it as we're saved. And we ought to be faithful to the church. But He says, as the manner of some is. Some. And you know, I've been there too. I'm not trying to beat nobody over the head with a stick. But I'm telling you, just plain and simple as I know how to say it, this ought to be priority one. Am I right about it? Am I saying it all right? Honey, listen, there is no excuse. I just got caught up with this. I got caught up in life. Listen, get on your knees, ask God to forgive you and make a change, repent of it, and get to God's house. There's no difference in laying out a church and staying out of church as there is of going down to the bar and getting dog drunk. Might be a little worse. Come on now, talk to me. Brother Ken told me Sunday, he said, "Preach to him now." So I'm going to preach to you. But we ought to be faithful to the house of God. I don't care if you like who's preaching. I don't care if you like who's singing. I don't care. Listen, you need to be faithful to what God has ordained. Am I right? Amen. Sort of like Pepto-Bismol. Don't taste good, but it'll help you. We must be faithful to Christ. We must be faithful to the church. But we got to be faithful also to our comrades. Look around you in here. Everybody, look, some of y'all are smiling. You're lying. You know you're lying. You ain't supposed to be smiling. You got trouble at home. But you come in here, everything just wonderful and sweet. And me and Mama didn't fuss on the way to church. We ain't been nanaying all week long. I didn't let that slip at work today. I didn't do this. But I'm all right. I don't believe all that. I don't believe all that. The devil knows where you live too. And you know what? I want to be here because I can tell who's not here tonight. I can tell you. I can sit here and tell you. I can look at these pews. I've been here long enough. I can tell you who's missing. And I miss them. I miss them. And guess what? I ain't nobody. But if I ain't sitting over in that little hole, somebody will miss me. May not be many folks, but somebody will. Brother Shane, miss me, won't you? I want to be faithful. We're all in this together. We're friends. We're family. We're to love one another. Read 1 John. I love y'all. I want to see you in heaven with me. We must be faithful as we see the day approaching. But also I believe we must be fervent. Watch verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Jesus took down the middle wall of partition in Ephesians chapter number 2. He took that down, and you and I now have access. Used to, the Gentiles could not come into inner court. They could not come into that tent. They could not. But now Jesus has broken that down, and we can come in boldly. We must be fervent
to do these things. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We must be fervent, first of all, in our prayer life. As we see the day approaching, as the day is drawing nigh, listen, please listen. We're on the verge. You hear what I'm saying? We are on the verge of what I've preached about all of my life. Brother Ken's preached about it all his life. Other preachers, his preacher, the preachers that I grew up preaching, they preached about Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And right now we're living smack dab in the middle of it. Boy, if that could dawn on us, if we could really realize that, what we waste our time dealing with and what we focus on so much, it does not matter. It don't matter a lick. I just want to ask you, what if the Lord was to be coming back tomorrow night, which could be, may not make it to tomorrow night, may make it 75 more years, I don't know. Would you do any praying between now and then? I just wonder if you'd find your altar and what exactly you would say. Wonder what that prayer, what the body of that prayer would be if we knew he was coming back tomorrow. What would you ask him? What would you tell him? Would you say, Lord, I'm sorry for this. Lord, I have not had this right. Forgive me. I feel like there's some things I could say. And then, boy, I believe it would be one of our longest prayers, probably, because we'd go over everything we could think of. Our prayer life. Boy, we need to be fervent as the day is drawing nigh, as this day that spoke about is drawing nigh. What's your prayer life like? Not only fervent in our praying, but we must be fervent in our preaching. I thought about, as I was thinking about this message and thinking about where we're at in the world and how close we are. You know, preachers, should be burdened with delivering God's message to reach a lost and dying world. It's going to be so sad. It's going to be so sad. Our preaching should be, we should be burdened as if it was the last message. If I knew this was the last message I was going to preach, what would I say? I'd plead and I'd beg. I'd do anything I could possibly do to get the message across. That there's not much time left. The preaching, the praying, but also our practice. We must be fervent in how we practice our lives and how we walk each day. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 had oil and 5 had no oil. They all took their lamps. They all looked the same, but there was 5 that didn't. didn't have any oil. Boy, I want to have my lamp trimmed. I want to have it burning. There's a box of tracks right in there, right before you go in Brother Ken's study. I challenge anybody in the building, you ought to get you a pile of them. I mean, there's probably 1,000 of them in there at least. When you go fill up with gas, get you one of them things. I do it every time I fill up with gas, and I put that nozzle back in. I slide it right there where it's either got to hit the ground, the wind can blow it where it needs to go, but somebody's going to get them tracks. When you go to the restroom, stick them on the countertop. But do something to get that message out. Or practice, how are you living? Are you clean? Is your life right with the Lord? Must be faithful. We must be fervent. But also I believe it'd be good in verse number 22 to stay focused. Stay focused. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. A true heart. A true heart. A true heart is not divided into several different areas. I love this and I love this and I love this and I love this. I love this a little more. This a little, but yet I love it. A true heart is focused. A true heart is dialed in. A person that is true to their spouse is dialed in on that one person, and they love only that one person. We must stay focused, first of all, on our commission. What is our commission? Our ministry. What is your ministry? Why are you here? Why are we at church? What do I do here? You may sing in the choir. You may lead singing. You may preach. You may, whatever it is, do it with full focus. Let's function correctly. Our ministry and our message, that gospel message, the message is Jesus was crucified. Jesus was buried and Jesus rose again. Get the message out to people. As it closes down, please listen to me. As this thing closes, let's quit playing church. Let's stop the games and the show and all this stuff as if it was the last time. Because you don't know when the last time will be, but you rest assured Jesus is coming soon. You say, I've wasted my life. I've done nothing with it. And there's no sense in me. Listen to me. Don't listen to the devil's lies. You can reach somebody. You can tell somebody. Never underestimate the power of the gospel. Never underestimate the power of the Word of God. Our commission, our message, our ministry. Let's stay focused on our children. Our children. In these last moments, there's been things revealed to us that's happening outside of all this Epstein stuff and all, if you dig into all that and see what was really taking place on that island, boy, I'm telling you, this world is a mess. This world is absolutely demonic. And you know who is most vulnerable? Listen to me. You know who is most vulnerable? It's not you and I, adults in here that's been through life. We've been down the hard roads and we know what to watch out for and what not to watch out. We know what we can cross and what we can't cross. But listen, young people that have never been and never seen the wickedness of this world and new converts as well that's never seen this wicked, listen, the devil is after them. So much information out there on the internet. So much deception out there. and their minds are so frail and fragile and weak and young. And boy, the slightest thing can get pumped in there, and it can send them on down the wrong path. It is vital. It's vital to have the young'uns in God's house. Vital, especially teenagers. Especially teenagers. Teenagers are sent down to this high school or that high school or wherever it is, and it would blow our minds in here if we knew what they confronted on a daily or weekly basis. I can remember when me and OD was in school, we thought we knew a few things, but nowadays, it's jaw-dropping. It's what. And you know what? The only thing that you can combat that with, the only thing that can help that is getting them in God's house and getting them under preaching and getting them under fellowship with people that love the Lord, people that are like-minded. That's the only thing. You cannot defeat Satan any other way. You cannot defeat demons that are after your children any other way than through the house of God and through God's word and prayer. It's impossible. Stay focused on our children. Protecting them, providing for them. We need to protect them. Guard their minds. Guard their lives. Guard their thoughts. Provide for them nutrients. We buy groceries. We go spend money at Walmart or the Publix or wherever you, Piggly Wiggly, wherever it is, and we buy several hundred dollars worth of groceries. Why is that? We want to feed them good vegetables and good food. Why is that? Because they're growing and their bodies are maturing, and we want to feed them right. We want them to have the right vitamins. We want them to have the right stuff to make their bodies strong, and they'll grow up. But what are we giving them spiritually that they can grow? My goodness, the most important part, their spiritual well-being. Boy, they need it. What, can I just say this? How mean and how cruel it is that not all children are made to go to church. If we knew of a family downtown that was not feeding their children, them children got to go into school, and that teacher noticed that they were hungry and they didn't have nothing to eat, and that teacher found out that mom and daddy was not feeding them at home, you know what would happen? The government would come and take them away and put them somewhere where they'd get fed. Well, what should happen if we don't feed our children spiritually? Answer me that. What should happen? No wonder our young folks is going crazy. You say, well, preacher, mine's doing pretty good. Well, you better make sure you keep them in the house of God, under the word of God, or your little Sally may go crazy in 2 years. We must stay focused on our commission, on our children, on our converts. As we see folks that are younger Christians, Darius, I'm going to use you. I saw Brother Shane, and I know this all the Lord. I'm not trying to blow Shane's head up here, but Darius had a brake or something on his truck messing up. Brother Shane helped him with it and fixed his truck for him. And you know what? That is strengthening that man. He's new. He got saved up at CT's, got born again up there, and he's been faithful. You know what the devil is after? And he's trying to destroy those that get saved and are new and are, listen, the Bible even describes it as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. They're babes in Christ.
I don't expect this man here to know what Brother Ken knows in the Bible. He don't know. I mean, no, how can he? Brother Ken's had a lifetime. I've had a long time of what, but this man don't know it. So therefore, I'm here for a reason. You that's looking at me tonight, you're here for a reason to help people like this. Thank you for letting me use you. It's the truth. It's the truth. That's where we've gone wrong. Bring home a baby from the hospital up there, Emily. How crazy would it be to take that baby, set it over on the couch, and say, do the best you can. If you need anything, you holler at me. It's how we think sometimes. We would never do that. But we do it spiritually. You know what the church is? We're here to preach the word, the gospel message. We're to preach that message. Sinners respond. They come to Christ. They get born again and saved. That's not all of it. We got somebody saved this morning. Out the door we go. Let's help them along. Let's encourage them. Give them some strength. Be there for them in hard times. Listen, when all people get saved, listen, they didn't have the glorious life before salvation, and they're trying to quit some things. They're trying to come out of darkness into His marvelous light, and they need some encouragement and they need some help. And I hate to preach hard to y'all. I love all y'all to death, but if y'all don't do it, who else is going to do it? It's called love. It's called charity. We must be faithful. We must be fervent. We must stay focused. But lastly, we must remain friendly. Watch your Bible. Verse 24. Let us consider, ponder one another. Let us consider one another. What does that mean? To consider. If I'm going to consider somebody. Brother Cody, I'm going to consider him. It means I'm going to watch him. We all have trouble. We all have hard times. If I'm going to consider you, I'm going to watch you. Not because I'm nosy and want to run you down, but because I love you. And if I see you trip, I want to help you. I want to be there if I can to catch you. If you do make a mistake, I want to pick you up and help dust you off and say, we'll get them next time. Because you know what? If everybody in this room here will tell the truth, you'll say, I've fell down before. I've dirtied the knees on my britches. I've had my face in the mud before. Look at me now. Ain't nobody in here. I ain't seen nary halo glowing in this building. Matter of fact, some of you may have some little sticks sticking up out of your bald heads. Uh-oh. Patty nudging Steve back there. Well, we must be friendly. Let us consider one another. I ain't trying to be nosy. Brother Connor, if I'm watching you, I don't mean I'm going to watch you and put tracking on your vehicle. You know what I'm talking about. I want to be spiritually alert to help that man. You see what I'm saying? It might be, and we all have days. Anybody, am I the only crazy man? We all have days where we're ready to take this thing and throw it in and say, I'm done with this crazy mess. Forget it. Anybody like me? I'm the only one that does. I'm talking about serious stuff. I'm not talking about joking, just something to preach about. I'm talking. Sometimes I'm ready to just quit.
You get sick of it. Anybody like it? The devil just ride you all week, all month long. Don't nothing go right. Everything goes haywire in your life. Seems like everything piles up at once. It makes you want to say, I'm through. But I want to be alert. I want to consider. Might be that I can come up to somebody, Brother Mark, and say, I appreciate you, what you do. And that may change your day. May change your week. Ain't much, but it may. We must remain friendly. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. To provoke. If I provoke Shane to punch me in the nose, I'm aggravating him. That's provoke. If I go up there and thump his ear real hard and laugh at him when he cries, I'm provoking him to rear back with that sore elbow and all and knock my block off. So the Lord's telling us to provoke one another into love and good works. So I need to provoke you. You need to provoke me to love one another. Be there for one another. Help one another. Good works. I want to provoke you. I'm here tonight trying my best to provoke you to serve Him better, to be a better Christian, to love Him more. I want to provoke you to do that. You know, there's those that are struggling in life in general. There's folks in marriages struggling. All kinds of problems. Sin problems. All kinds of trouble. Why can't we just be friendly to them? Everything I just mentioned, we all had them problems. We've all, if you've been married long enough, you've had marital problems. Say amen right there. Life in general, everybody in here has probably faced financial difficulties at some point or another in your life, unless you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth. All had just a daily grind. You've been there, you've done that, you got the t-shirt. The right thing to say is not, just let them tough it out. They'll make it. Where you come up with that? Love on them. Help them. Those that's struggling, those that's in storms. As I think about in the building, Brother Ken's mentioned several times how many people have gone through storms just this year and the end of last year. It's crazy. I mean, there's several folks going through serious stuff. Hurting. Young folks, you know, a lot of times young people get overlooked. Oh, us adults, you know, of course, you see our home, you see our finance, you see all those things. If, you know, all that would be made publicly, Brother Randall and them's house burned. We see that. We see cancer on somebody. But what about the young folk? What about the teenagers that's battling hell by the acre? What about them? Storms they face. And it may not be as big a deal to us what they're going through, but it's a big deal to them. They need encouragement. They need help. Must remain friendly to those that's struggling, those in storms, but also to those that's staggering in their faith. As we've mentioned earlier, you never know in this building. We've all listened to me closely. This is the last sub-point on the last point. Ain't that a blessing? We all know somebody that used to sit here, 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 here that are no longer with us. Why is that? Can you think of somebody that used to be a fireball, used to be fully involved in church, used to be a blessing, but their pew's empty tonight? It'll probably be empty Sunday. It was empty last Sunday. I wonder, listen to me, I wonder if there's anything I could have said or anything I could have done that would encourage them to press on. You ever wonder that? Anything you could have done? A lot of folks might surprise you if you walk in here Sunday. It might surprise you to know who's staggering in their faith. Jude told us that he had a mind to write about the common salvation, but the Holy Ghost led him to write that we earnestly contend for the faith. The devil's after our faith. You know who he's getting? He's after the weak. Just like in the safari in Africa, those predators are after the youngest and they're after the weak. And I want to encourage you tonight just to stay friendly. Stay focused, fervent, faithful as this day draws nigh. We ain't got long, folks. I'm telling you, we ain't got long. It'd do us good to think about some of the things that's got us in a tizzy, some of the things that's got us so occupied. Please listen. There's so much stuff that's got our minds occupied, got our time occupied. And in just a little bit, it's not going to matter, hon. Just a little bit. I want to advise you tonight, in closing, use your time wisely, because we ain't got long. Father, thank you tonight for your blessings. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us. May the good God of glory instill His word in our hearts. Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch Brother Ken, help him to stay fervent, Lord, in this place. Help Miss Renee. Lord, bless each and every servant in this place, God. I pray that you'd encourage each and every one. I thank you. I thank you for the ones that's helped us and helped my family. Thank you for the ones that's encouraged us. And I pray that I could be an encouragement to somebody else. We love you, and we give you all glory, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen.